Let us sing the chorus. Is he not wonderful? Is he not wonderful? Not seen, not heard, but revealed in his word. Yes, he is wonderful. Yes, he is wonderful. Seen and heard, for he revealed himself in his word. And he remains wonderful. And he remains wonderful. For he is who he was, and he remains the same. Praise and thanks be unto the Lord. You notice my voice is no more so good, but the mood is even better. This counts with God's help. Some have a good voice and no good mood, but in the presence of God, even the heaviest sorrow is sweetened, and it is written, he burdens, but he also helps to carry it. And if we look at it carefully, then he not only helps to carry the burden, then he carries us with all the burden. These are wonderful thoughts, which we time and again can draw anew from the Word of God. And I, from my side, I want to express it now and also tonight. What kind of deep gratitude is in my heart that God has people who are under his influence, who hear his word, who at all costs want to be ready when he will return to take his own home. If it were up to the devil, then it would all go to him, and then he would destroy everything. But everything goes the way as God wills. God will never permit more than we can bear. And so we may look up to our Lord by faith. May God bless these last hours of this day, of the last day of this year, in all of us. Ah, I see our brother Winkler in our midst. God bless you. Just imagine, he could sit now in the city of Fürth, but he sits here. And if I remember his age correctly, then it's very high. How old are you, brother Winkler? 91 years, and he sits here in the front, in the first row. Our Lord, once he spoke out judgments, and he says Tyrus and Sidon and Korazim and Bethsaida and some cities will be better off on the day of judgment than those people whom the opportunity was given to hear and they did not hear, to receive and they did not receive. Now, before we go into our word observation, I promise you, it will be brief. You all know, by the sermons which are translated, all of us, we have been fed spiritually. I think that no one needs to be underfed, right? I hope that all are nourished nicely, spiritually seen. For in the sermons of Brother Branham, everything is contained. Really, nothing is missing. All of the Word of God was summarized, given, and all whom the Lord has given the access to it, they may be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of his house. How grateful are we to God for one another. Did you ever thank the Lord for your brothers and for your sisters, for all who are next to you and around you, who we may be gathered in the presence of God? May the Lord bless this brief word observation now in all of us. Firstly, I would like to read from 2 Peter chapter 3 from verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. We know that the apostles tried hard to see the church of the Lord unharmed on the day of the return of Jesus Christ. And as Paul has written in 2 Corinthians, probably chapter 11, to present her to Christ as a chaste virgin. The work in the kingdom of God was only worth it if the success is there. I don't mean now in numbers, but if the people at the return of Jesus Christ are really ready. Everything else can be success for a time, but not for eternity. We want that God, by this last preaching of the message, calls out a bright church which is prepared and decorated to meet the bridegroom of our soul. The effort, the ministry of our beloved brother Branham, it was such a full commitment as it could not have been better. But only those will hear who let themselves be addressed by God, who are aware of that here not a man speaks, but here speaks God through a man. And this we understood very well when Paul says, "What I received from the Lord, this I delivered unto you." Then this is something very mighty. Not being taught at the feet of Gamaliel, but received from the Lord, as I declared it unto you. I believe that all prophets and apostles up to our beloved brother Branham, that these men of God could say with a good conscience, "What we delivered unto you, this was given to us by God." Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And therefore, God's word is a living and also an effective word. Peter has admitted that Paul has written in his letters some things which are hard to be understood. And we likewise admit that in the sermons of Brother Branham, some things can be found that are hard to understand. But in the same way, we testify that we believe that God reveals to us everything by His grace, through His Spirit and through His Word. We just have to seek the answer there where it is found, namely in the Holy Scripture. If these men at that time would have searched the Word of God, then nothing bad would have happened. Then the most difficult thing to understand would have been solved, because every answer of God is in the Holy Scriptures. If, of course, the people read the letters of Paul without putting it all back into the Holy Scriptures and embedding it, then they, of course, didn't have any orientation. And that is the reason for the confusion and the problem of our time. They compare statements. They want to bring them on one denominator. and by doing so, they leave the Bible closed. Whoever leaves the Bible closed, to him also the sermons will be as a closed book. Whoever opens the sermons of Brother Branham, he must also open the Bible to find there the answer of God. And if we have opened up both, then the things hard to understand will be easily understood, because God helps us. After all, what is written in Luke 24? The Lord opened unto them the understanding for the scripture. And then he started with Moses and all the prophets and has said everything to them. And he's the same today. Brother Schmidt has read it in the word of introduction. Yesterday, today, and forever. If the Lord opens unto us the understanding for the Holy Scripture, then we will understand everything rightly, what is contained in the sermons, because we take it back into the Holy Scripture. But the admonition is nevertheless given, and it says here that the unlearned and unstable rest as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Whoever is twisted in his heart, he will twist the Bible. He will twist the sermons because he is twisted in his mind. But if we have been tuned in with God in our hearts, if this divine conformity has taken place, then we will correctly understand God's word and also the sermons in accordance with one another. So, it's a grace if we can find out that it is so with us. In verse 17 it says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." One thing is most certainly true and clear. Every confusion will throw people out of their steadfastness. God is a God of order, and he reveals himself through his word to his people. And Paul writes in the same way to the Corinthians, "If the word which we preach remains hidden to the people, then it is hidden to them whom the God of this world has darkened the eyes and the hearts." May God give us grace that nothing and no one will pluck us out of our steadfastness in which God has placed us. And nevertheless, it's a serious admonition, because ye know these things, knowing that some things are hard to understand, and that the unlearned twist it unto their own destruction, and with it they are not even satisfied, but they want pull others into their own destruction, into their own confusion. And therefore it is written, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked. A person who goes astray has lost the orientation. He deviated from the way. He doesn't know anymore where he goes. And there are just enough of them, if not too many. God seeks people who do not deviate from the way, but who walk on the way of God. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What did Brother Branham once say? If you read the Holy Scripture and you don't find Jesus or the testimony about him in every verse and in every chapter, then you must read the chapter over again. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the center of the proclamation, the center of the Old and of the New Testament. People who are confused themselves have then no conscience anymore. They don't care about anything anymore, of course, with piously decorated words. But here it says, lest ye also, being led away, and fall from your own steadfastness. Beloved, we have to remain steadfast unto the end. And many probably have thought, to me this cannot happen. I am so sure of my thing. Friends, brothers and sisters, our self-confidence will not be the shelter which we need, but our intimate relationship with God and His Word through the Holy Spirit. Only God can protect us. We are all just foolish enough. It continues here, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. What a wonderful word. Now, for a comfort, for a support of our faith, and for the assurance of faith from this sermon here about the original seed, some quotes of Brother Branham. He speaks here of the predestination of the believers and says, predestinated, all sons and daughters of God are predestinated. We'll get to the scriptures after a while. It is Ephesians 1, verse 5. We are predestinated. Why? Christ is the original seed. And this original seed was predestinated by the foreknowledge of God. God knew that the fall would come and predestinated him to take our place. You get it? all sons and daughters of God are predestinated. But, you say, then will he condemn some? No. You are a free moral agent, but because he, being God, the Infinite One, he foreknew everything that would be. As I spoke to you earlier, he knew who they are. He knew that we would be gathered here at this place today. He knows us by name. He knows where we stay, where we work, what we do. No one knows more about us than the Almighty God. He predestinated them to be there. Disbelieving God's word caused the hybriding. God has put it right back again, that you don't have to be a hybrid anymore. You can come right back to the original word and be a son of God, just like you were supposed to be at the beginning. The word of God as the original seed cannot be emphasized enough. But you can all read it for yourself again. It continues here. But because you are predestinated, you hear the word, and it brings you right back where you were predestinated. Amen. Then he says, amen to it. Let me read it again. But because you are predestinated, you hear the word, and it brings you right back where you were predestinated. So, not you and not I, but God, who spoke all things through his word into existence. He has put the original word as the original seed anew upon the lampstand to bring us back there where we belong from the very beginning. Blessed be his wonderful name. And therefore we hear God's original word and don't mix it with anything. Amen. And it stays that way. Thus God wanted it. It continues here. I never saw that before. A brother Branham, a prophet of God, a man of God, he's humble enough and says, this I have never seen before. It brings you back. What brings you back? To believe the word and turn down all the other things. Do we see? It is about a separation. The word cannot be mixed. To believe the word, for this we are determined. And whoever believes the word of God, he must throw all pious traditions overboard. Otherwise, we would have to sing one day, "Closer, my God, to you." But we are coming to him now and receive his word, not only when the Titanic sinks. No, we are grateful to God that he has called us out and that we recognized the significance of the word. All things came into existence by the word, and without the word, nothing was made of all what was made. And God is the God of his word, and in his word is his whole program, the whole plan of salvation. Furthermore, it states here, all right, I want a scripture for that. Here it comes. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. With God, the work is already done, and whoever recognized this by faith and was touched by God, he comes to a rest in God, in the finished work of redemption, which happened on the cross of Calvary. It continues, predestinated as he was, makes the word seed, the word of God, flesh in you, in his church. You say, sure, Brother Branham, every word, I believe it. Then don't back up when you get your tradition. Stay right with the word and stay with that. And watch what happens. The hour is here where we have to take fully our stand on the word of God and in the word of God. How often we judged according to traditions, according to what people have said, and were led astray and came into an inner conflict that we couldn't cope with. God had to help us, and therefore it is very necessary, whoever wants to avoid these inner conflicts, may he stand fully upon the word of God and let all traditions go. It continues. We come back to it. It is about the faith seed of Abraham, who believes the word of God, regardless of what the circumstances were. There you are. You know, I feel like shouting. I wished that this would be my formulation. He has Abraham before his eyes and knew that God has given his promise and that he fulfilled it, and that Abraham closed himself up to everything and opened himself only to that and believed only that what God promised him. And then Brother Brim says, I feel like shouting. Perhaps here is the key. If we close ourselves up to everything and believe the word determined for this time and receive the promises which were given to the church with all our heart. Then the great shouting could break forth, for then we would know that God stands to His word and that He will fulfill it. Yes, He must fulfill it, whatever He promised. Every word of God is an original seed, has life of God in itself, and must find realization. Now it is, of course, about the New Testament church, which must find its completion. It continues. You see, look, the faith seed of Abraham. What was it? Not Abraham's body, but Abraham's faith. What did Abraham believe? The word of God. There was no intro, no outro, but a clear divine statement. No matter what came, he called anything contrary to it as though it wasn't even there. Oh my, wouldn't that rip these denominations to pieces? It sure would. And this here I would like to skip now, although it is written right after this. But there are people who have a built-in kind of misunderstanding, and therefore I want to skip this, although here is no one who has a automatic misunderstanding built in. But I will not read it. I will just say it, or read one line. If the truth of marriage and divorce was only brought out in its light that it's in here in the Bible, it would break up every church in this city, and so forth. Somebody asked me recently, in reference to this subject, what do you think of the sermon Marriage and Divorce? And I said, as naive as I am, and as stupid as I am, pardon me, I said, I believe what Brother Branham got revealed from God there and what he set forth. And then there was only loud yelling. Then you believe in polygamy. I didn't say one word about it, and I absolutely don't believe it. But so people can have a built-in misunderstanding. They are just waiting and setting a trap in their heart, and you are naive enough to fall for it. But may God help me that it doesn't happen anymore in the future. But He alone knows it. It continues here. Predestinated as He was, makes the word seed the same water on what this church today is a bride predestinated. Did God say He would have a bride without spot or wrinkle? Then she is predestinated, isn't it? See? Well, Christ was predestinated. He was the royal seed of Abraham. And what did it do? When the Spirit came on Christ, He bore record of the word of God. And when the water Spirit falls on the word seed, the royal seed of Abraham's faith in God's word will produce the same kind of a crop. Here, the bridegroom and the bride are put on the same level. The same word, the same spirit, the same power of God. God bears record of His word. Furthermore, I wanted to still read one or two quotes. He predestinated us now unto the adoption. Now, do you believe we were predestinated? This is the question which I read. But the amen I would like to hear from all of us. Do we believe it with all our hearts? That we were predestinated to be sons and daughters of God. And therefore we hear the word of God as the original seed. And therefore the Holy Spirit, the latter rain, will come upon the church which receives the original seed of the word of God. And it will bring forth after His kind, and the harvest will be sons and daughters of God who are transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. This is God's intention. This is His plan. It continues here. So, believers of the Word and Spirit must be one. You get it? The believers, the Word, and the Spirit are absolutely one. This is something very mighty. Here, the body of the Lord, the predestinated bride, all who are determined to see the glory of God, they are brought in connection with the Word and the Spirit. I read once again, the believers, the Word, and the Spirit are absolutely one. If we realize that today in full and say, faithful God, although in this hour it is not yet the case in all things, then please help us to become one with every word of God which was illuminated and revealed unto us by your Spirit, united with God. And then it comes to fulfillment. The believers, the Word, and the Spirit are absolutely one. If we look earthly into this time, then the believers are not even one with themselves, let alone with the Word, and forget about it, with the Spirit of God. But here it was said, and thus it will be at the end. Every word of God is an original seed, and it will come forth, bringing forth that what was contained in the promise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, we accept it by faith. The believers, the Word, and the Spirit are absolutely one. Why? Because the believers say only that what the Word of God says, and therefore are joined by the Spirit with God. and have the access through the Spirit and through the Word to God. This is the divine unity. Now, let us read a little further. You don't do your own thinking. You don't use your own mind. Isn't that wonderful? The mind which was in Christ is in you. The mind of Christ in you will take the word just like he did, because he was the word. And if the mind of Christ is in you, then you are the Word. You are God's living Word, representatives of Him here on earth, continuing the work. The church should be that way. Exhausting all these thoughts would take a lot of time, but let us sum it up. Just as every word of God that was pronounced on Christ our Redeemer was fulfilled in Him of His birth, via His ministry, His suffering, His dying, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension. Everything took place according to the Word of God, right or not? You just need to read it up in 1 Corinthians 15, perhaps verse 3 to 5. So this is also meant that every promise and every word of God which was given to the church will find its fulfillment in the church. And this we can believe, for on Christ everything was fulfilled. Now see how this will happen. 'Cause you are a predestinated seed, just like Christ was. We are a predestinated seed, just like Christ was. Now it comes. And when the rain falls on the seed, the life produces itself. Some of us have almost sweltered because there is a great drought in the country, and everybody has a deep longing for a mighty spiritual rain. But first of all, the entire divine seed must be sown into the hearts of the people of God, so that the latter rain has something which it can bring forth unto life. What good is all the rain of which it is spoken all over the world, if no seed was sown at all which can be brought forth? Everything at its time. The plowing, the preparing of the soil of the heart, the sowing of the divine seed, the latter rain, the harvest, everything at its time. Do you have confidence to God that He will do everything according to His plan? Most certainly, God will do it just as He planned it. You all know, it was probably the prophet Elijah who was praying for rain, and he sent his servant, and he comes back and says, "I see nothing at all." And he returns again and says, "I still see nothing." and a couple of times like that. Until the hour of God has come, a thing which God promised, after which we are longing, will not come then when we want it, but then when God gives it according to his great and holy plan. And we will always say, he is just in all his doings. It continues, then happens the same as then, when the Holy Spirit fell on the seed, of which Jesus said that he chose them before the foundation of the world. Also they were a predestinated seed. Is that right? Then they hauled themselves up in the upper room. These seeds, the word was lying in them. Hallelujah. They not only withdrew themselves, but the divine seed of the word of promise was in their hearts. And with it, they went into prayer. And the Spirit came down to revive this seed and to bring it forth. They hauled themselves up in the upper room. The seed, the word, was in them, but it didn't yet come forth unto life. All of a sudden, there came a sound from heaven as the waters begin to gush down, and it actually filled all the house where they were sitting. And the seeds begin to grow. It begin to manifest itself. The word of God being manifested in them. The word of God came true. Beloved, if we don't take anything with us from these days, then let us keep the certainty in our heart that God has determined for everything time and hour. First, the seed must have been sown into our hearts. And before that can really happen, we have to be ready to let the soil of our hearts be plowed over, so that all old traditions are so nicely buried and covered by the clod. You all know, a real farmer plows deep, and then everything is filled up, and then there is a wonderful soil above that can still be harrowed, and then a good seed is sown. Have we understood the divine message for this time? God has not only said to us a few things about which we shall discuss, but he has revealed unto us his will through his word, not to argue about it, but that the called out church becomes one among one another with God and his word, and so that the Spirit can bear record of it. If you all can believe it, that God will still achieve his goal with us hard-hearted and sometimes a little clumsy people, then just say Amen. Praise and thanks. God will cope with the most cumbersome and with the one who can hardly grasp it. Him God will grasp and carry him through in his incomprehensible grace our God is a great, a wonderful God. He has revealed His word unto us so that He can fulfill it. Not only that we speak about it, and we also said it about the restoration. May the blessing of the Almighty God rest upon all of us, one as believers, one in the Word, one in the Spirit, joined with God under the blood of the Lamb, and joined among one another as the members of a body are joined with one another. And Christ, our head, hallelujah, blessed and praised be His wonderful name. I think today we should thank Him, for it is a wonderful message. It's the message which God intended for us. We live off it, and we will experience it. Amen. Let us stand up and thank the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank You together, Lord. We want to open together our mouths and our hearts, exalting Your name. For You alone deserve the honor. For You said, not You have chosen me, but I have chosen You, and ordained You, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that Your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in My name, He may give it to you. Hallelujah. We thank You, Lord, for this precious and unmistakable word. Lord, You have spoken in these hours, in these days, until this moment, Lord. Lord, we are so happy that Your people, as Your elect, that we may sit here as in those days, Your disciples and those whom You have chosen could hear Your loving words. We worship You and we praise Your name. Lord, You are alive among Your people. We are not a people who are dead, but we are living stones, Lord. Hallelujah. Receive the honor, receive the praise, and the glory and the worship. You have said, this is My command to you, that you love one another. Hallelujah. Lord, we know Your divine love brought us together here, and how we could not love us. O Lord, for You have loved us first. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory and worship be unto Your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise and honor. In Jesus' name. Oh, it is Jesus. Oh, it is Jesus. Amen.